Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blog.radio.com. Also, our new home over at Spreaker.com. I am Mark the Q. I am your host. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have Laura Freakon on, talking a little bit about her new fashion line and a little bit about what she does in the Hollywood arena. And then second, we're going to have pop R&B artist Lex talking about her new single, Again in Love. And it looks like our first guest is on there. She's a wardrobe director, and she has worked on – she's a wardrobe director, and she helps with the TV show American Beauty Scar. She actually also has worked on major motion pictures such as Kung Skull Island, Men in Black 3, and also TV shows Mad Men and Get Away with Murder. Her current expertise has launched the line Verite Luxe, an ankle luxury product line, and she's also the United States ambassador to eco-conscious, ethical, and sustainable fashion for World Fashion Week in Paris 2019. And we have Laura Freakon on us with us right now. How are you doing, Laura?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, not a problem at all. I mean, just to see how many shows that you've worked on and so many great great motion pictures you have worked on. I mean, it's got to be an incredible experience to be able to be on set and to be able to have a hand in making a lot of the costumes and making people feel like they're a part of the role.
Yes, it is a really fulfilling and rewarding career that I have. So I'm very thankful and fortunate to have it.
Design.
Well, I'm not really a fashion designer. I'm a costume designer, and I got into it. I basically was a child performer. I did dance, ballet, acting, singing, everything when I was a kid. My grandmother was an opera singer and model, and she worked on Broadway for a long time. And my uncle was an actor. And so it was in my family. It was very accepted to be in the performing arts. I basically got into costume design because I was acting a lot in my school plays all the way up, you know, through college and grad school. And I wanted to get my hands in the backstage part of it, not just being in the plays, but, you know, I wanted to see, you know, how to do all the rest of it. And I just fell in love with costume design. I did both costumes and acting in college. And then basically when I was in grad school, I was working, you know, on these tiny off-Broadway black box theater shows. But that really taught me a lot, and I just worked my way up, and I got my first movie in 2007.
Oh, I think we lost Laura. She'll probably be calling in back shortly. Interesting to see that she's talking a lot about, you know, behind the scenes, you know, like you said, and I'm interested to see what kind of things she's encountered behind there. I think we got her back on here. Are you there, Laura?
Sorry, I'm so sorry about that. Yes, I got disconnected. My apologies. So I was working in black box theaters and off Broadway shows, and I really wanted to branch out into film. I basically knew one costume designer that was doing movies, and I stalked her. I would send her tickets to shows I was doing, my portfolio, my resume, anything to help her see that I really wanted to do this. And then finally, one day, she hired me for my first movie, and the rest is history.
What was probably the biggest difference you found between doing costumes for a Broadway production versus a film production?
With theater, what happens is there are a lot of quick changes, and there are a lot of in-the-moment things that happen, and movies are much more calculated. You have time for you have time for fittings for both theater and film, but once a show goes live, it's live and it's happening. And so you have to be there to handle any last minute adjustments, when they're changing their clothes, it has to be in a very timely manner. That's basically what I could say the biggest difference is. But the also with theater, when it's opening night, if you've designed a show, you're seeing, you know, you're sitting in the stage, you're sitting in the audience, and you're looking at the stage, and you're seeing, oh, that's it, it's done. You know, that's the finished product. Whereas with film, you don't see the finished edit until months, maybe years later. So you're working and working. You may see dailies, but you don't actually see it all put together until a couple months from then. So that's the biggest difference, I would say.
With the live aspect of Broadway and to be able to do a live show like that, I mean, have there been instances where, you know, where something may have happened where a stitch may have come out of place, or, you know, there was something where I won't say wardrobe malfunction, but something happens with the costume that you have to quickly kind of mend it, even during a certain part during the show.
Yes, in fact, that happens all the time. A wardrobe malfunction is a real thing. It actually happens a lot, whether it's film, theater, television. You have to be prepared to jump on your feet, do whatever it takes. Always have a kit on you because you might have a rip, a tear. Somebody might split their pants. Something might not fit. On American Beauty Star, for instance, we had a contestant pick an outfit. I thought the outfit would fit. I thought it would be a perfect fit. When we got it on the model, it wouldn't zip up. Nothing would work. And so I ended up having to cut the outfit up and then restitch it together on the fly. And it ended up being more beautiful than it would have been originally. So it all works out. But yes, that stuff happens all the time.
How much research goes into designing a costume? I mean, I know, especially in film, it's the little details that are very important, especially considering that you have close-ups. The audience is definitely a lot closer looking at what the art that you're doing versus on stage where there might be a little bit of a distance.
Research, to me, I don't know about other costume designers, but to me it is the most important aspect of our job. If you are doing a costume or a show that's period specific, you know, for instance, 1950s, 70s, what have you, it doesn't matter. You need to know not just about the fashion of that day, but what was happening socially, economically. You need to really do your research on what's actually going on in that period. And to me, that's the most fun. It's probably my favorite part about it. I also love to develop the characters through costuming. And, for me to have a script and dissect the script and talk with the actor about how they see their character, that's a really huge part of design as well. Learning like how the character sees them or how the actor sees the character. And then I basically develop my costumes around that as well.
Have you ever had an actor or an actress love their costume so much that they wanted to take it home or own it themselves?
Yes, actually, some actors, and I cannot say who, but some have it actually in their contracts that if they love the costume, they get to take it with them at the end of the shoot. So yes, actors get very attached to their clothes, because if you think about it, when you put on a pair of shoes, depending on the shoe, you're going to walk differently. You're going to hold yourself differently depending on your undergarments, like whether you have a corset on or sweatpants. Those are two very different feels. And so actors really do get attached to their costumes. And yes, some of them love them so much that they have basically a collection that they choose and get to keep at the end of the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because right now, I mean, it to look at vintage costumes from the past, they're getting top dollar right now in terms of auctions. I mean, you know, and famously the ruby red slippers from Wizard of Oz. There were several pairs, but they were, you know, they put a pretty good price on them as well. I mean, that's almost kind of there's almost a little bit of a pride in that too, I would assume. You know, obviously you've worked on some major projects, and just to have, you know, just to think that maybe down the line that's something that, you know, is going to be very valuable to somebody that's a collector or would cherish them because it happens to be their favorite movie or just they absolutely love the fashion part of it about that as well. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, it's funny that you asked that you brought that up because I actually started founded a technology company based on this exact fact. I would get repeated people would email me years after a movie had come out or months after a movie had come out or a TV show and say, I love this sweatshirt so I have two stories that are really poignant and that speak to your point. I had a woman reach out to me, she was a nurse in a hospital and the patient that she was treating loved Sookie from True Blood, the character. And there was a pink sweatshirt that Sookie wore in an episode. And she wanted to get that pink sweatshirt for her patient. And she reached out to me and said, how can I do this? Like, do you have this sweatshirt or can you at least tell me where to get it? Because the sweatshirt was very comfortable, cozy, and it would have made her patient feel very good. Plus, it would have been really cool to come from Sookie's closet, you know? So that was the first note I ever got about this, people wanting to know. And, of course, with Mad Men, I mean, that fashion phenomenon caught on like crazy. People constantly were reaching out, like, where did you get these costumes? How can I get it? Whatever. And then the second one was there was a collector that collected all things Sylvester Stallone. So when Grudge Match came out, which is another movie that I did, I got a request for these exact shorts that he wore in the show. And I replied to the gentleman saying, you know, those are property of Warner Brothers, so I don't have access to them. And he said, I'll pay anything. I don't care what the cost is. All things Stallone. And I realized, wow, people really do want to know about these costumes. They want to know where they're coming from, how they're made, you know, where they can get them. And so I developed a technology company based on that exact fact. And it was like to help source the information from movies and television so that the average consumer can find that information and get it.
I mean, and that's great. I mean, you know, I think, you know, I mean, especially nowadays, I think people are, you know, with the advent of DVRs, the advent of internet, where you can just see, you know, you can still frame a single shot and see somebody's outfit, you know, and they say, oh, I absolutely love that outfit. I really wish I wanted to do it as well. I mean, it's just crazy to be able to see, you know, that's what everybody seems to want or whatever. I mean, if it's just for the fact that, you know, to be have a part of your favorite movie or just, you know, sometimes there's even Halloween, you know, or costume parties where they want to look the same way. So it's great. It's awesome to be able to have that technology around.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I agree. I was out with a friend last night and there was a plastic ketchup bottle on her floor. And I said, why do you have a plastic ketchup bottle on the floor? And she said, oh, remember from Dazed and Confused the where they spray everybody with ketchup? And I was like, oh my God, she made her Halloween costume based on that section of the film. And I thought, wow, okay, that's really cool that people actually do that. You know, it's a cool thing.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about I'm assuming I am saying this correctly. Verite Lux, is that correct?
It's actually Vert Lux, and it's French for green luxury. It means eco green luxury. But yes, it's you are very close. But it's actually Vert Lux. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about the company and how it got launched and a little bit about what it's all about.
Sure. So I have always been very passionate about environmental conservation. I, even back in college, I was the head of the environmental community, in college, I got very involved in environmental conservation. I minored in environmental studies. That was always a big passion of mine, and I've always been very caring about the planet. There are a few side effects to working in the entertainment and fashion industry, and one of them is that it is very polluting. No matter how green you try to be, with the amount of trucks and food waste and paper waste and everything, it's a very polluting industry. And same with fashion. Fashion is actually the second most polluting industry in the world today. And I just have been working for years in this industry thinking, what can I do? How can I do better? So I got engaged in 2015, and I started trying to plan my wedding, which was, I wanted it to be a very eco-conscious and sustainable wedding. And I was finding that I couldn't get any resources. It was hours and hours of searching for who's doing eco-conscious wedding gowns and who's doing, you know, sustainably made shoes and where can I find the best makeup. And I thought, why not have all of this information in one place? So Vertlux came to me from that. It originally started with just weddings. I wanted to launch an eco-conscious wedding platform. And I met with a consultant who said, well, you know, most people that want to have an eco-conscious wedding, they live an eco-conscious lifestyle. So why not make a collective of everything for living an eco-conscious, sustainable life? And so that's where the idea for Vertlux was born, and I've been building it. We basically launched, we've been building for a year, but we really had our launch in February. So we're very new, but we're very excited and very passionate and building every day. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations are in order for you being appointed United States Ambassador of Eco-Conscious, Ethical, and Sustainable Fashion for Fashion Week coming up. I mean, how excited for you are you to be in Paris and to be able to represent your brand and represent eco-friendly products?
I'm so excited to have this opportunity, and I'm so excited to be able to bring awareness, because I think the biggest problem with fashion today and beauty today is people just don't know that it's so polluting, that it's so not good for you, that people aren't getting paid fairly, that when you're going and buying from a fast fashion company, and when I say fast fashion, I mean, you know, those places where you go to buy that are, you know, you can get a t-shirt for $2. What do you think the people that are making that are getting paid if you're only paying $2? And what do you think's happening into the garment industry if you're only paying $2? So for me, it's to really bring awareness and to show people that you can have beautiful fashion and it can be coming from a good place and being made from good materials, and people can be getting paid fairly. And you can, maybe you don't have to buy as many clothes, but you can have beautiful clothes. And so that's really why I'm the most excited to take on this endeavor.
I mean, that's great to hear. I mean, you know, like I said, yeah, it is interesting that you don't see more lines like that going on. You know, it's just, you'd think that somebody would have thought of that to kind of put everything under one roof, especially for a wedding. I mean, the trend now tends to be that, you know, everything from recyclable wedding invitations to recyclable dresses and all that as well. I mean, it's just kind of interesting to see that there wasn't anybody until now putting that under one roof. And how's it for you to, you know, you said you just launched in February, and I mean, how's it been like to kind of do the research for this in Denver and talk to different vendors and all that about you know, that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of vendors that want to be eco-friendly and be friendly to environment and be ethical about their practices. I mean, how's it been for you just to do research and kind of develop this?
So I was very worried that I wouldn't have a positive response when I started reaching out to people. I have to tell you, it has been the biggest joy in my life from launch, since launching, is that when I reach out to people and tell them about Vertlux, they really care and they get so excited. I mean, I'm onboarding vendors on a daily basis, and now people are reaching out to me through my Instagram posts, through social media, because they're like, oh my gosh, I want to be part of this collective. I want to be part of this movement. And I am so excited. Every day I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like today I've been having conversations with a shoe company that's giving back to the people in Guatemala. I mean, they're paying fair wages. They're giving a shoe for every shoe bought. And I'm like, this is who I want to work with. These are the kind of people. And it's so rewarding to see that people are embracing it the way that they are. And when every time I tell people about Vertlux, they're like, oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. And how can I get involved? And how can I help? And what can I do? I love that about it. And doing the research is the fun part to me. I mean, same as with my costuming, finding these brands, finding these people, I want to learn all about them. I want to know more. You know, I'm so excited to talk to every single CEO of every company that I speak with, and they all have these really super cool stories, and I just want to get people to know about them. So I love every part of it.
what's next for the company? I mean, are we going to, you know, you said you just launched and just launched last month. I mean, you know, kind of tell me a little bit of the timeline, what's going to go on with the company in 2019.
Sure. So we, very exciting news that actually just started happening in the last week. We want to go on the road and do a Vertlux tour, and we are looking right now for, you know, a partnership with a company that we're looking for, like eco-conscious or sustainable trailers that we would take on the road and go around the United States, document the whole thing. I mean, I am a costume designer, so I have a lot of friends in the film and the film industry who would help me with this. We want to go on the road and travel around the United States finding eco, ethical, sustainable brands, bring them to the Vertlux Collective, and then also make a sort of festival circuit out of it. So besides building the brand, and I want to have at least 100 brands on the site within a year. I mean, I'm every day reaching out to people, speaking with brands. But really, I want to travel and find, like, the eco, ethical, sustainable brands that maybe nobody's heard of because they're in Middle America and they're not in a major city, but they're doing great things. So that's kind of that's what's in the next year. And then I, of course, want to do a worldwide tour where I find all around the world these amazing brands and bring them to the Vertlux Collective.
Yeah, you know, I mean, here in Vegas, I mean, we have so many shows going on anyway that, I mean, you know, I would say probably almost as many, maybe a little bit less than what Broadway usually does anyway. But yeah, we have a lot of costumes out here, and a lot of them are very elaborate and all that as well for a lot of the shows out here as well. So yeah, I'm interested. I don't know if any of them are eco-conscious or whatever. You kind of think that some of them would be, but I don't know. But, you know, always in consideration as there as well. I also have a friend of mine, Leslie Smith, who's a very eco-friendly, you know, she's an MMA fighter actually too. You know, So I might have to have you two hook up and talk a little bit, because I know she's always into eco-friendly and all that as well too. So we'll have to, you know, see what goes on with that. So I'll have to send you the information. At some point,
I would love that. I'll actually be in Vegas for in 2 weeks, or not 2 weeks, early April. I'll be in Vegas, so I would love to connect with her, connect with you. We can find some ways of meeting or working together. That would be amazing.
Well, Leslie's actually up in the Bay Area, actually. But I'll still give you the information. I think she'd absolutely love to be able to work with you a little bit too. I mean, she's really she is a crusader for everything. I mean, I think you'd absolutely love her. I'll have to give you that information when I'm off air.
that would
I'll
be
send
great.
That information with Leslie. We'll have to see if we can catch up when you're in Vegas. So we'll have to take a look at that too. We'll see what goes on there as well. Yeah. I'm gonna be in LA. I'll probably be in LA in late April too. So I'll have to let you know because I've got a documentary that's going to be featured at Artemis. So I'm actually gonna be in the LA area in late April. So.
That would be great. I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Yeah, I'll send you the information when I get a chance to as well. I'll definitely forward that to your publicist and they can forward it to you. So, anyway, I want to and obviously you have the website up, correct?
I do.
Vertlux. That's VERTELUXE.com. I'm assuming, right?
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
And then I'm assuming that's the same thing for Twitter and Instagram and Facebook?
Actually, our social handles are Vertlux Life. It's exactly VERTELUXELIFE, Vertlux Life.
So definitely check that stuff out as well. And, you know, spring's coming. If you have a wedding coming up, you guys can take a look there. Or just wanting to be eco-conscious and wanting to really look at some brands that are eco-conscious, definitely take a look at that as well. Any other projects coming up for you, Laura? Anything that we're going to see on the silver screen or the on television relatively soon that you can say?
Yes, I'm actually in next Sunday. I will be flying to New York to film the live finale for American Beauty Star. It's very exciting. We have our three final contestants. We've been working around the clock with each other. I've been helping them build these gorgeous, elaborate costumes to make them hopefully, well, we know one of them will be the next American Beauty Star. But we're doing it live in New York next Wednesday, the 27th of March at 10 p.m. So please tune in. It'll be really fun and exciting.
Well, and that's great. That's great to hear as well. I mean, again, it's great to be able to to have all these projects going on. It seems like everything is kind of falling into place now in 2019.
It really is. I feel like this is my year. I'm so thank you for saying that. I'm like, I'm sitting here in this interview thinking, wow, I just tied in my costume design, my tech company, Vertlux. And I'm like, wow, things are actually really happening. It's really great. Thank you for saying that.
Now, you guys can check out the season finale of American Beauty Star on Lifetime. So if you guys have Lifetime, definitely check that out as well. Is there anywhere where people can follow you personally on social media?
Sure. It's super easy. It's my name, Laura Fracon. It's LauraFrecon. That's simple. Please follow me. Talk to me. I love hearing from everybody. If you have advice, questions, information, and any eco brands you want to nominate, you know, reach out to me. I'm always available.
Yeah, we'll definitely catch up. I mean, you know, hopefully I'll catch up with you when you're in LA and when I'm in LA, and then we'll keep in touch and as the company goes and grows and as well as that. So, best of luck with the company and congratulations on the success.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. This was a really fun interview. Thank you.
Oh, no problem at all, Laura. And like I said, I really look forward to meeting you.
Me too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Talk to you soon, Laura.
Okay. Have a great day, everybody.
Laura Fracon, everybody. You guys can check her out. Laura Fracon and her company, Vertlux, VERTELUXE.com. You guys can check that out and also on the social media, Vertlux Life. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have pop and R&B artist Lex talking about her new single, Again in Love. And we'll talk a little about getting her behind her music as well. I can tell you guys that we're going to be busy the next couple of weeks. We got two guests already scheduled for next week. The Vicks are going to be on with us as a group out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we're going to have a really cool host of his own show. Give me a second here. Get that information. Torchy Smith will be on with us next week as well, talking about his new book about talking to baby boomers. So we're going to have that as well. And then 2 weeks, we got another interview scheduled. It'll just be one. I think we're soloing that day. We are going to have a very talented actress. Yeah, information. Rebecca Metz. She has a recurring role on Better Things, and she's also on the Disney Channel series Cope and Cammy Ask the World. So that's going to be great to be able to have her on in a couple weeks as well. So, yeah, we're going to be busy the next couple weeks, and then some big stuff's happening towards the end of April. Like I said, the Artemis Film Festival, my documentary, Girls Grappling in Grit, will be making its world debut there. If you guys are in the L.A. area, please stop by. It'll be if you go to artemisfilm.com, artemisfilmfestival.com, you guys can check out tickets. We'll have a discount code coming up on that as well. I believe right now it's $12 for the session, but we might be able to knock that down to $10. Save you guys a couple bucks. But if you guys are in the Los Angeles area, I'll be in Santa Monica at the Monica Center on Sunday morning, April the 28th at 10:40 a.m. We'll be having our full premiere of Girls Grappling and Grit. We'll have that information for you up on the web and up on our Twitter and our Facebook. We don't have a website at the moment. So we'll take a look and see what's going on there as well. I believe our previous guest tried to call in, but she was a little bit early, and she was calling into my personal line. So I don't know what was going on with that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and call her back. I saw something from New Jersey, so I want to make sure what's going on there as well. I don't know. Maybe they got confused and actually called my personal line, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little music here, and then I'm going to see if we can't get our next guest on Lex, and like I said, her new single is Again in Love. I wish I would have, if I would have remembered, I would have uploaded it. I just totally forgot to do that. I apologize to Lex for that. But I'm going to go ahead and play one of our favorites, Aaron O'Brien. Kind of fitting for St. Patrick's Day, Aaron O'Brien. We're going to play a little bit of Yard Cow, and hopefully in just a bit we'll have Lex on with us. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
You know, the twofer for Aaron O'Brien, like I said, kind of in a St. Patrick's Day mood, twofer for Aaron. We haven't had Aaron on for a very long time. I think she's had a great, you know, I think I've talked to her a couple times in the past couple years. Definitely doing well for herself. I don't know if she's doing a lot more music nowadays, but she's always one of my favorite guests on the show. We'll have to catch up with her at some point. But anyway, no Lex. I tried to be calling the number that was brought to me, and mailbox was full, so I wasn't able to get a hold of her. So we're going to try to reschedule her. Maybe we'll schedule her in 2 weeks with Rebecca Metz, because I do have an open slot there I can put her in. But like I said, next week we're going to have the great TV host Torchy Smith. We'll be talking a little bit about his new book about interviewing baby boomers. We'll also have the rock band The Vicks on with us, talking a little bit about their music. Really great band out of Pittsburgh. And like I said, we'll have another show in 2 weeks. We'll have Rebecca Metz, and maybe we'll reschedule Lex for that as well. You guys can check us out on Twitter at SWIV, at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. You guys can also check us out on Spreaker, like I said, also iHeartRadio. You guys, if you guys talk to iHeartRadio or your Siri, if you have a Siri or a Alexa. If you have Alexa, if you say Somewhere in Vegas, you'll be listening to the latest episode of the podcast. You guys can check out Somewhere in Vegas on any of your podcast catchers, including iHeartRadio as well as iTunes. And like I said, Spreaker, of course, our other home here in Blog Talk Radio as well. So you guys can definitely check that out as well. So make sure you guys subscribe and recommend if you can do as well. You guys missed out last week. We talked to Gillian Green, Kuzmina. We talked both of them a little bit about their upcoming movie on Netflix, Fanboy. You guys can check that out on the 20th, which I think is 3 days from now. If you guys are on Amazon, please go check out Fanboy as well. And also check out our interview from last week as well. It was a really great interview to be able to talk to those two as well. So with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and end the show right now. And thank you for joining us. We'll be back here next week, same time, 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. And like I said, we'll have show host Torchy Smith on with us, as well as the band The Vicks. With that in mind, we'll talk to you guys next week.